Welcome to the Conversations with Jesus podcast. I'm Johnny Lehman, a baptized man of God who has the amazing privileges of being a husband, father, and the pastor at Divine Savior Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. This podcast is designed to bring you the self-sacrificing love of Jesus found in the Bible through 15 to 20 minute episodes that focus on relevant life issues and what God has to say about them. Check out our website, DivineSaviorChurch.com, as well as our Facebook and Instagram pages to find out more about the incredible things God is doing through our church family. As you well know, if you've listened to this podcast before, I love getting into those controversial topics. Now, the Bible has always been countercultural, and where we're going today, we got some deep waters to swim in. And I'm really excited to do that in 1 Peter. So where we're going today, this week, is we're going to talk about how we as Christians live in two different kingdoms. You have the kingdom of the world, so the earthly country that you are a citizen of, and God's kingdom, the heavenly country that you belong to by faith. And so as citizens of this kingdom in the world, we are called to submit to the governing authorities. It's actually part of how we honor God. But we do this remembering there is one true king, and Jesus is not voted in. And yes, we honor our leaders, human authority of every level, but we worship the king. And so our submission we're going to talk about, Peter's going to talk about, our submission shows worship to our heavenly King Jesus. The truth is, we are free, free in Jesus, in the living hope of Easter. And so what Peter's going to encourage us to do is to live as free people, but as servants honoring God. We aren't the first to suffer. Jesus did for us, and so we want to follow in his steps. We'll never have to suffer what he did. Praise be to God for that. And at moments of unjust suffering, we're going to discover, right, whom we truly worship. So let's take in these words, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. Just to set the context here, remember verse 12, where we ended last week, where Peter talks about how we want to serve and love, why? So that those who don't know God will glorify God on the day he visits us. So that living witness, living out that identity of being a hope bringer by God's grace. He builds on that. He says, I'm going to give you more examples of how we glorify God. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It's so neat to see Peter using Isaiah 53 here as he brings out this incredible point. This is God's word. Now let's unpack it. I never realized how divisive the topic of authority was until the summer of 2020. Maybe just the mention of that year sparks strong emotion. I get it. Where I was at during that crazy year, I was getting towards the end of my pastoral internship year at a church in Covington, Georgia, just a little bit south of Atlanta, when I taught a class on the Ten Commandments. And that night, we happened to be talking about the fourth commandment, which is all about how a child of God honors human authority. Now, again, summer 2020, you can recall what was going on then. We start talking about how God calls us to honor government leaders at every level. And naturally, a hand gets raised and tensions rise. He looks at me and you could sense the anger there. What if the government tells us to do something ridiculous, like wearing masks? It doesn't make any sense to me. Now, this week, we do have, just like every week, we have far more significant things to discuss than mask wearing. But do you see the underlying view of authority that this individual was sharing? You know, we hear its echoes in every segment of the political spectrum. We hear a government is only worth following if it does what I think is right and doesn't impede on my independence. Or maybe something like this. The government has no business telling me what I should do with my body, as a woman said to me in a neighborhood near our church here in West Palm Beach, Florida. Do you see how we as a culture have resentment toward authority? We think we need to legislate morality, as we see it, or let the individual control it all. Either way, Christianity has a far different take on authority. And the living hope of Jesus opens our eyes to see what true freedom is. You ready for it? True freedom is being God's slave. And I realize that the word slavery is a loaded term, and for good reason. You know, we have a dark chapter in our American history of using race as the way of considering a person's value, and not the fact that the blood Jesus shed makes every single one of us valuable. And these verses of 1 Peter, as you can probably guess, are some of the most controversial in the entire Bible. And yet, they reveal one of the deepest truths of the Christian faith. And if you're thinking, okay, you know, maybe back then it was different. You know, submitting to governmental authority or slave owners, maybe it was just a lot less controversial back then than it is today. If you're thinking that, you're dead wrong. I realize how little Americans trust authority today. A recent Pew Research study found that only 20% of Americans trust the government. In fact, if you look at practically every institution now, churches, schools, police forces, etc., trust in all of them is at an all-time low. And yet, that distrust does not compare at all to what Peter and Christians at his time were dealing with. Now, we're going to read in a second how Peter says point blank to listen, to submit to the emperor. Do you know who the emperor of Rome was when Peter wrote this letter? A guy named Nero. And do you want to know how Nero treated Christians? Well, the Roman historian Tacitus tells us this. He had them thrown to dogs, nailed to crosses in his gardens, and burned alive to serve as living torches in the night. Not exactly the shining, beaming example of godly leadership, right? See, Romans in general, they saw Christians, well, as cannibals for celebrating the Lord's Supper, right? Eating Jesus' body and blood. They saw, oh, they're cannibals, or promoters of incest, since they called each other brothers and sisters. All these false accusations. And what does Peter say? He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Peter is saying, submit. Why? Very clearly, for the Lord's sake. Now be honest with yourself. How do you feel about that? Seriously. Is your blood boiling a little? Does this bother you? Why do you think it does? Now think about this. Why is it easier to laugh at a "I did this" sticker on a gas pump instead of praying for our president? Why is it easier to see that what an ex-president says than to pray for the Lord to change his heart? Now, this is where sin is the great equalizer. No matter what political thought you subscribe to, it's the core of sin's delusion. We don't want to submit to anyone. We don't like showing honor to someone we completely disagree with. Again, there is a difference between not agreeing with a leader, whether it's the president or your parents or your boss. There's a difference between that disagreement and shaming them. Now, we can disagree and bring our concerns to God in prayer instead of bashing, cutting down on social media, and criticizing. And don't think I'm just saying that because I'm better. I'll be the first to admit my failure in this. How often do I fall in this way? How attractive it is to slander more than honor. I am the worst of sinners right alongside you. I'm guilty of this more than anyone, maybe. It would be one thing, again, if Peter stopped there, speaking only to government authorities. But remember what he says? He says every human authority. And in their culture, and sadly in many cultures still today, that meant submitting to a slave owner. Look what he writes. He says, slaves, in reverent fear of God. Remember, he used that word before, that awe-inspiring, just, wow, God, I can't believe you love me and you're there for me. In reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. And there's the controversial. The whole thing is controversial, especially that last phrase, right? Those who are harsh. Now, I could ramble on to you about how Roman slavery wasn't based on race, which is true. But that really wouldn't calm your nerves on this, would it? I know where the mind goes. At least this is where mine is. What about the sex slaves today? The trafficking going on all over the world. They should just submit. What about the abusive relationship that maybe you're in right now? A person who's domineering you. I should just submit? You should just submit? It's here that we must be abundantly clear. The Bible says we are called to submit to authority, but not to authoritarianism. And there's a difference. Big difference. Peter made that difference very clear, right? When he said in Acts 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than human beings. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, he's saying if the authority is demanding we do something against God's word and God's will, we remember that our ultimate identity, the ultimate authority, our ultimate citizenship, it belongs to King Jesus, and no one can take that from us. So how do we explain this? This seems so unfair, so wrong to submit like that, to submit to a boss, to a parent, to a teacher who is harsh towards you, who doesn't seem to understand you. How could Peter say something like this? See, Peter uses such vivid descriptions to tell us something so amazing about real freedom, Christian freedom. And remember, he's talking to Christians, most of whom were in the very bottom social class, who couldn't do anything to change their status. Fighting? A rebellion would only have led to bloodshed and death. Because here's the thing. The only thing that truly changes a person, a culture, the world, that causes real change, you know what it is? It's the hope of God's grace, the gospel. That's what alone can truly change hearts. You know what Peter's saying here? He's saying, dear Christian, no matter what the world says, you are always in the position of strength. And you already have what will cause real change, to which you're probably thinking, what? So he's saying a slave should just be content with being a slave, that a citizen should just submit to the government no matter what. Again, remember what Peter said, Acts 5:29, we must obey God rather than human beings. But at the same time, that's only when the authority is telling us to do something against God's word. Not if we find the authority to be, we don't like their stance on that or their policy on this. We think that's ridiculous. That's not it. That's not it. And again, if you're asking those questions of, really, I have to follow that guy or that woman, or if you're asking those questions, you're seeing in real time what sin does. Sin and Satan want to convince you and me that the self, the almighty I, is the only one worth submitting to. That self should be the authority. Can't you hear the ancient whisper in the Garden of Eden? Did God really say? It's all about authority, isn't it? Peter is saying the reason we submit, the reason we seek to love those who hurt us, is because of our love for the ultimate authority, God. And this, of course, is where critics of Christianity start screaming. So God is behind Hitler. God is behind governments of genocide. God is behind the parent who abused me. Don't be mistaken. God has never condoned nor been behind such atrocities. As John writes, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Our God is the God of the outcast. He's always identified with them. The fatherless, the widow, the prostitute, the tax collectors, sinners like you and me. See, Christians living in the sure hope of Jesus, we're called to identify with the same, to love the undeserved and the oppressed. If God doesn't exist, or he's not in control, doesn't have total authority, then we have no basis for a higher moral authority. Have you ever thought about that? If God is not in control, if he does not have total authority, then who's to say who's right or wrong? Morality would be fluid, based on personal preference leading to chaos, anarchy, and oppression. God calls us to submit. Why? What does Peter say? For the Lord's sake. Or in reverent fear of God. And recall what that means. It means you're not being a pushover, nor are you a wimp to be slapped around. You stand above because you stand in the highest position of strength with Jesus because of his awe-inspiring, hair-raising love for you. We submit because of the one who submitted the worst injustice and unjust suffering anyone will ever face. Think about this with me. The Almighty God, with total authority, who did nothing wrong, suffered hell itself. Look what Peter says. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Yet, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. How could Jesus withstand such unjust treatment? The most unjust treatment of the only perfect human being that's ever walked this earth. How could he do it? Well, can't you see? It's because Jesus was always in the position of strength. He could have sent down legions of angels in the Garden of Gethsemane the night he was betrayed, but he didn't. Why? Well, look at these amazing, hope-filled gospel words of Peter. Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Jesus knew the greatest hope you could ever have would not be won with debates, swords, guns, or revolution. Jesus knew the only living hope this world has ever seen would not be gained by legislation or behavior modification. This hope could only be given through sacrifice. See, Jesus saw the wandering sheep we are, so often clueless and how lost we are, and he could have justly let us walk off the cliffs of pride, arrogance, and power-hungriness, the very things that our sinful nature craves. Instead, the shepherd king of all became the ultimate slave of all, willingly submitting to the most painful and unjust treatment, abuse, and trauma, so you and I, we would no longer live for ourselves, but live for him who died for us. Just think about how personal this is, how freeing it is. This says, the gospel says, no matter if you are at the bottom, having no influence, money, ability, or respect, you have eternal value. You are no longer obsessed over your position, trying to prove that people should submit to you because of your intellect or skill. Instead, you've been given the greatest hope ever. No matter where you find yourself in your life right now, you are, as Peter puts it, God's slave. And that's what makes you free. Not to use the freedom of sins forgiven, heaven waiting, and identity given to cover up sin. No. But by God's grace to live the most substantial, the most incredible, the most amazing purpose ever known. It means you don't live live the impossible and demeaning life of trying to make everyone submit to you. That's slavery to self. But instead, you live in true freedom to live life motivated, empowered and set free by the grace of God, which we see no more clearly than at the cross. In other words, as one mentor of mine named Rick Lowen once said, you are not a victim anymore. You are a victor in Christ. It's from that position of strength that you are given the boldness to follow Jesus, what he's called you to do out of love for him, to follow in his steps, as Peter says. And notice, this following cannot happen unless you remember what Peter reminds us. What does he say? Because Christ suffered for you. To see the gospel overwhelm you with a love that every letter of every form of language can't harness, you experience a freedom that gives you hope for every situation God places you in. Christians are called to serve others, to go the extra mile, to suffer injustice without demanding their rights, knowing what? They have an assured status before God, and he will vindicate us on the last day. Because we are constant victors with our King Jesus leading us, we can judge the authority, right? Because we're judging it based off of God's standard. If you believe that God has spoken in his word, it makes you and I mavericks, independent thinking people, being able to decipher truth from untruth, justice from injustice, because we have the unchanging, always true word of God. We're not cowards. No. By faith, we boldly love, not to be pushover people pleasers, but willing to speak and do what God's love calls us to do, even if we lose it all from an earthly standpoint. Because when King Jesus rules in your heart, you know you always have it all. Sure hope, the sure hope that only Jesus can give, it changes everything, and you and I have seen it, haven't we? Now, I'm going to end our conversation this week with two amazing stories, just to show exactly how God works through such things. One is in Vietnam. So the country of Vietnam today, as you probably know, remains a socialist nation filled with corruption and poverty. In fact, for decades, no church body could offer any theological training whatsoever. Well, our church body, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the Wells, was given access to start a theological school, and it was dedicated last year. In fact, we are currently the only Protestant church with official government permission to work with the Hmong in Vietnam. More than 2 million people who don't know Jesus. And think about this. This seminary that opened last year, already 55 students have completed training and are pastors. 120 more men are starting to be pastors. Why did they let us in? Because we stand on this truth of the Bible that we are God's slaves. And that means we're not here to build up and destroy, but to be the best citizens we can be because we belong to a different king. Focus not on political utopia, but saving souls. That's what matters. That's what God's always been about, the eternal perspective. And if you're still battling with this whole idea of true freedom as being God's slave, and I can understand that, I have one more story to share. The year was 1948 in the town of Suncheon, South Korea. And a band of communists had taken control of the town, and they had executed the two older boys of Pastor Yang Wan-sun. They died as they called on their persecutors to have faith in Jesus. When the communists were driven out, Chai Sun, a young man from the village, he was identified as the one who had fired the murderous shots. And so, as you can imagine, his execution was ordered. Well, Pastor Sun requested that the charges be dropped. And why? So he could adopt Chai Sun, the very boy who shot and killed his sons. He wanted to adopt him. And Rachel, the 13-year-old sister of the murdered boy, so pastor's daughter, testified to support her father's incredible request. And only then did the court agree to release Chai Sun. He became a pastor's son and a believer in Jesus. Can you see it? We have been called by our King Jesus, called, yes, to suffer for his sake, to win more souls so they can be in his heavenly country alongside us. Jesus is the only authority that gives hope beyond compare. Remember what he said? In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. There really is nothing like the freedom we have in Jesus. Amen. I thank you so much for diving into these deep waters with me this week, and God's richest blessings as you live as a citizen of two kingdoms. And if you have any questions about this, and maybe I should have offered this before in the podcast, feel free to send me an email. So it's johnny.lehman, johnny.lehman at divinesaviorchurch.com. No spaces in there. If you have any questions or just have different thoughts, things that I can think about for future podcasts, I would love to hear from you. With all that being said, my prayers certainly go up to the Lord for you, and I praise God that he's using Christians like you and me throughout the world to bring his hope that truly does save souls. God's richest blessings, you live for him now and always.